So earlier this week, one evening, I walked around my neighborhood. I'm guessing a lot of you guys did as well. And I saw a lot of people out there pretending to be some things or someone that they weren't. I saw people dressed as baseball players and football players and firemen and army people and somebody in our house dressed as a hot dog. And there were all kinds of things going on out there. And it's fun pretending to be something that you're not on Halloween, because on Halloween, candy comes with it, right? On Halloween, candy comes with it, and there's a lot of fun. But listen, when we pretend to be someone that we're not in real life, it's exhausting, isn't it? All the effort, all the work to put up this front, to try to fool people into thinking that we're someone we really aren't, it's an exhausting thing. And I want to encourage you this morning, remind you this morning, that as a follower of Christ, there's no need to pretend to be something that we're not. Right, as followers of Christ, Jesus has called us his children, and there's nothing that can change that. And as children of God, we get to live and exist in the presence of God himself. And that's what we're going to see as we pick up our verse this morning in week two of our series on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14, I'm going to read it for us, and I'll read it several times this morning. I probably read it 20 times last week. Going to read it a lot this week as well to focus our hearts and our minds right here. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God's word says this: "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." This past Sunday, if you missed it, you can go back and listen. We took a lot of time to dig into the context of this verse, what was going on in the history of God's people when 1 and 2 Chronicles was written, and what was happening as God spoke this promise. And if you'll remember, Chronicles was a reminder to the people of God, recounting their history, reminding them of the faithfulness of God throughout their history, and it shows them, hey, this is what happens if you continue to walk with the Lord. And by the way, this is what happens when you stop walking with the Lord. And the immediate context of the promise was looking back at that pivotal moment in their history when the temple was built and the temple was dedicated, right? The temple's dedicated, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God among the people of God, it is brought into the temple. There's this visual presence of the glory of God evident there in the temple among his people. And then King Solomon, right, the son of David, he prayed and he asked God, "God, hear us from heaven." And God answered. We can be encouraged by that. When we cry out to God, he hears our prayers as his children. God answered him with this promise, essentially saying, hey, seek me, seek my face, seek my presence in the times of spiritual despair, and I'll bring revival. I'll bring restoration in your hearts. And listen, we need revival, don't we? I mean, we need revival in our nation. I know that many of us are hoping for it. Many of us are praying for it. And many of us honestly are thinking about it as we head into this week. It's a big week for our nation with the election coming up. Pastor Jarrett mentioned it. We gave you some action steps last week. I just want to remind you of some of those action steps as we head into the week. And the first is this: guys, engage, right? But participate in the process. We looked at Jeremiah last week that told us to seek the welfare of the city that we find ourselves in. As Christians, our call is withdraw from sin, not withdraw from society. Be all in, right? Get out, engage, and vote. And as you vote, do so according to the Word of God. Read the Word of God and vote accordingly. Action step number two as we head into the week is pray. Spend more time praying about this election and praying for our leaders that are over us than you do worrying about it, stressing about it, complaining about it, fretting about it, talking about it. Spend time in prayer over what's going on in our nation. And then finally, trust. You know, there's a very real reason that Pastor Jarrett had us walking through the book of Daniel in the months leading up to the election. Almost every week, what did we see? Who establishes kings and kingdoms? Jonathan and Moore got it this time. Thank you, guys. Right, God establishes kings and kingdoms, right? He's the one. He uses all rulers, all kings, all kingdoms, ultimately for his glory. We said it last week. Whoever wins gets 4 years. God has forever. So trust God. Trust his promises. trust his plan and know that not only does God establish kings and kingdoms, God's the only one that can bring about that kind of revival in our hearts that we want. And listen, I think we're all in agreement here. We want that revival. We want that move of God in our hearts, in our families, in our church family. We want that revival in the people of God here in our community, in our country, and every country. And my prayer is that would happen, right? That the revival would break out in hearts. And as it happens in the church, in the people of God, it will immediately impact the community, the nation, and the world, all for the glory of God. So to repeat myself about this verse from last week, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's not a national promise for America. It is a spiritual promise for the people of God that can impact our nation. And in the verse, God gives us the steps for it to happen. Last week, we looked at step one. It's humility. We saw that the people of God must do what? Humble themselves before God. That's us. Right? We don't need to project this onto other people. Our call from God is to humble ourselves before God. And that simply means submitting ourselves to the point where we say, Jesus, you're Lord. Right? You are the boss. You are in charge in my life. I am taking my direction, my orders, everything from you. It's a posture of humility before him, and it's that humility that makes the other commands here in this verse possible. Think about it. When we are proud, we don't look to other people for help, do we? When we're proud, we carry on like everything's under control, even if we're faking it, right? That's the image that we want people to have of us, that we've got it all handled and under control. That's why guys, what? They don't stop and ask for directions when they're lost, do they? That's why guys, when they're putting stuff together at the house, they don't read the instructions, do they? When the hurricane came through, one of our fence posts snapped and a few sections of our fence went down. I thought it would be a good family project to sort of put this thing back together. We're already laughing. To put this thing back together without hiring somebody to do it. And so I take the boys and Chelsea out into the backyard and we start the project. And I just do it. I don't Google anything. I don't research anything. I don't read the instructions on anything. And I thought, I've got this. I've got it handled. I wanted my kids to look at me and think, this guy knows what he's doing, right? And so that's sort of how we processed. And as I looked at the concrete around the post that was setting in there, I realized that I did not, in fact, know what I was doing. And there's no way that concrete was going to set right. And I'll tell you now that the fence is standing, but there's no way it makes it to next hurricane season. It's coming down this year. I promise you that, right? Why? I was proud, right? Pride sometimes is our default mode. We're an independent people. We want to do things on our own, and that's dangerous because that pride keeps us from looking to someone that is greater than us. Pride in our hearts will keep us from seeking God, and that's a problem. And so as God makes this promise here to the people of God, he calls us to humble ourselves because it's that humility that will make it possible to truly seek God. That's what he says, step two. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's number two. We're looking at that today. We need to be a people who pray and seek the face of God. Seek the face of God. I want to make sure we get this right. You heard Mark Lanier in here a few weeks ago. He was talking about the Hebrew vocabulary. He talked about the number of words they had in Hebrew compared to the number of words we have today. Their vocabulary, just the amount of words, was significantly smaller, which means many words pulled double or triple duty, including many words that had to do with the body, right? Eye, it wouldn't only mean eye, it could mean insight or understanding. Ear doesn't only mean ear, it means listening or comprehension. And when we read face, we need to understand presence, right? To seek or to be before someone's face would mean to be in their presence. And so as we read, seek the face of God, what we need to understand is seek the presence of God. And it's humility that helps us do that. To look to someone greater than us. So with a humble heart, we're called to seek the presence of God in our lives. And we're going to elaborate this morning. Okay, we're going to elaborate to ensure we understand what God is teaching here. But I want you to just take a gut reaction of yourself and your heart first. Would you say that consistent prayer and seeking the presence of God in your life is a good descriptor of you right now? Would you say that prayer and seeking the presence of God in your life is your typical pattern on a day-to-day basis? And if you're nodding along thinking yes, then keep going, right? Don't ever change that. Seek the presence of God day in and day out. But if you'd say, you know what, honestly, that's really not me right now. Honestly, I don't know that I could say I pray often. I don't know that I could say I seek the presence of God in my life often. If that's you and you want spiritual renewal, you want revival, you want spiritual growth in your life, you want God to move like God has never moved before, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen apart from the presence of God in your heart. That's true for King Solomon as God spoke this promise years ago. That's true for the people of Israel as God spoke this to their king years ago. And it's true for the people of God today. That's me and you. We have to be a people that pray and seek the presence of God. So let's walk this out. Because I know there's some people this morning thinking, well, wait a minute. If I have to seek the presence of God, does that mean I'm not with God now? That's a great question, right? And as we answer it, we're going to learn, we're going to gain understanding over what God is really asking us to do. I want you to understand a few things about God's presence. The first is this: God's always present, right? His omnipresence is one of his attributes. It is an attribute of God. He cannot lose it. He is always there. He's present. He's around everything and around everyone. Understand that. Number two, God has promised that his presence would never leave his children, right? Jesus promised the disciples in the Great Commission saying, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Hebrews 13:5, we read that Jesus has told us he would never leave us or forsake us. So if you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right, if you have surrendered your heart and your life to him, if your sins have been forgiven and you've stepped into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you see right here, God has promised that he will never leave you. Are you following me so far? He's present everywhere, and he's promised to be with his children. Now, knowing that, let me ask you this. Are you always aware of that? Are you always aware of the presence of God in your life? Every word you say, every thought you think, every action you take, are you doing it with the full knowledge and conscious reality of the presence of God in your life? Are you always thinking about the nearness of God to you day in and day out? If you answered that question honestly, you said no. Which is why, as we read God's word, he is consistently calling us back to himself. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Psalm 40:16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Psalm 105:4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Old and New Testament, all through Scripture, God calls the people of God to seek him, to seek his presence, because there are moments where in our hearts we begin to neglect God. There's moments where we forget about God, moments where we disobey God, moments where we get overwhelmed with the concerns of this life and we are hesitant to put our trust in God. And there's even seasons in our lives, if we're really, really honest, where we outright run from God in rebellion. And we've all experienced that. To run from God is what? It's to run towards pain, towards heartbreak, towards disappointment. And God's word teaches to run from him is ultimately to run towards destruction. So here we see our Heavenly Father, he is lovingly calling us back. He's calling us to seek his presence, to set our hearts and our minds on him, which means we need to fix our focus. We need to fix our attention. We need to fix the affection of our hearts on God. This is a heart and mind issue. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Now set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. When we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about ensuring our minds and our hearts that we're just focused on God. To put this very, very simply, our call this morning is to think about God in our lives all the time. Paul writes it in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Seek the presence of God. Seek the awareness of the presence of God continually in your heart and in your mind. Think about him all the time. And you might think, man, that's a lot. I don't know if I can do that all the time. And I'm telling you right now that you can, right? If it is something that God has told you to do, you can do it. How unkind would it be? Think about this. How unkind would it be for a father to tell his kids to do something that would be impossible? Have you ever told a kid to lick their elbow? Do it sometime. It's fine. It's impossible. Right? The body doesn't bend that way. It doesn't work that way. It just can't be done. Don't try it now. Just saying that here. If you do try it later, make sure somebody videos and send the video to me, right? It's going to be funny. But listen, if you tell a kid, hey, lick your elbow and I'll take you to Disney World or something, it's dreadfully unkind because you're promising them this amazing reward, this amazing outcome to do something that they just cannot do. It's not the case here, right? We have a Heavenly Father that loves us and calls us to something great. God's calling us to pray and seek his face, to seek his presence, to be continually aware of him in our hearts and in our minds. And if God is calling us to that, it absolutely can be done. We need to understand that seeking the presence of God in our life, it is this mental choice that we just have to make. It is making a cognitive decision to focus our hearts and minds on our Heavenly Father. I love the way that John Piper phrases this. He says, doing this is the opposite of mental coasting. We have to engage our minds. Well, we have to have this constant awareness in us that causes us to seek the presence of God. I've shared this verse many times in here. I pray it over our church family regularly. I pray it over my family regularly. It's 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. May we, as the children of God, follow the commands of God and seek the presence of God over the things of this world, because it is oh so easy to direct our hearts and minds to so many other things. I read a quote yesterday, it really hit home. I'm gonna read it, and I just pray that your heart would be open and let this hit where the Lord needs it to hit. It says, we are busy about 1,000 things, but we're sluggish about our own souls. Does that sound like you right now? Busy about 1,000 things every day. Kids and work and responsibilities and issues and running up. Your schedule's full, your calendar's full, your plate is full. Busy about 1,000 things. We're sluggish about our hearts before the Lord and our souls. And if that's how you feel right now, I want to encourage you, just do what God is calling us to right here. Seek the Lord. And if you're at this place where you're thinking, okay, I'm in. I know that's me. I know I need to follow the commands of Scripture here, and you're not sure where to start, I just want to walk you through it. And I don't want you to be disappointed. Here, I don't have anything earth-shattering for you. What I do have is straight from the Bible. And I promise you, I'm making you this promise, if you will be disciplined about what God's word says here, it will dramatically change your heart and your life every single day. So if we want to do this, to seek the presence of God, step one is this: read the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So, for us, the Word of God, we see, teaches us about God. It corrects us when we stray from God. It trains us to live in a way that is pleasing to God, and ultimately equips us to do the work of God. If we're going to seek the presence of God, we have to be people that read the Word of God. If you want to hear from the Lord day in and day out, if you want to be consumed by your awareness of your Heavenly Father in your life, if you want spiritual renewal, if you want to grow spiritually and see your family grow spiritually, reading what he has already written to us is where you need to start. The access that we have, think about this, to the Bible. In the year 2024, living in the United States of America, it's unbelievable. throughout history, people have died. People are still dying around the world for glimpses of pieces of the Word of God. And we walk around with it in our pockets, on our phones. Any translation we want, any language that we want. We have access to some of the most brilliant minds and commentaries helping us understand the Word as we read it. We have outlined amazing reading plans digitally, paperback, in our Bibles to help us reading it. We have access to the Word of God unlike anybody ever has in the history of the world. What are you doing with that access? When they came to town last, we had this invitation to have special access to hang out with the guys from Dude Perfect, right? It was fun. It was an amazing experience. If your kids watch that show, you've heard them because that show was loud in the house. I told them that when we got to meet them. The guys were kind. They pointed everybody in a packed out Toyota Center to Jesus. They gave a gospel presentation. It was amazing. And we were invited. We had access to meet with them, to connect with them. And I'm telling you now, my kids would have lost their minds if I said we had access to them and never spent time connecting with them. It wouldn't have made any sense at all. But that's sometimes how we treat the Word of God. Access to it, and we don't do anything with it. That's crazy. But we can't do that. If we're going to seek the face of God, we have to read the Word of God. The Institute of Biblical Research did a study recently on just the effect of reading the Bible on our day-to-day life. Here's what the study showed. If you read the Bible one day a week, really no measured effect in your life. If you read it 2 to 3 days a week, a little bit of change in you, nothing significant on the numbers. But if you read the Bible at least 4 days a week, here's what they found. You would be 228% more likely to tell other people about Jesus. 407% more likely to memorize it, to hide the Word of God in your heart. Listen to this, 59% less likely to view pornography, and at least 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness or depression or anxiety. Listen, you want to be aware of the presence of God in your life? You want it to change you day in and day out? Get into the Word of God. Number two, if you want to seek the presence, the face of God in your life, talk to God. Read the verse again. What are we called to do? Pray. Pray and seek the presence of God. Jesus sets the pace for us here. Right? If you read the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is praying nonstop. Right? He prays nonstop. He prays in the morning. He prays in the evening. He prays before meals. He prays before big decisions. He prays before miracles and after miracles. He prayed before the cross. Jesus prayed to the Father from the cross. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us what? To pray without ceasing. It's an ongoing conversation with God. Don't stop talking. I think about it like a phone call that just never hangs up. Right? You don't have to be alone in your room in private to pray. Pray nonstop throughout the day. As things happen, as things come up, as God brings people, scenarios, situations to your minds, pray. Pray without ceasing. Next, to seek His presence, worship God. Back to the context of this verse, 2 Chronicles 5 through 7 is where this verse is found, chapter 5 through chapter 7. It's the dedication of the temple in Israel. And several times throughout this dedication, the people just stopped and they worshiped through song. Right? They sang out praise to God. And when we worship in here on Sunday mornings, what happens? Well, we are fixing our minds and our hearts on God. That worship, immediately it draws our focus, our attention upwards, and we begin to think about the presence, the reality of God in our lives. And let me just say that in those moments when you don't feel like worshiping because of the tough stuff that you're walking through, the challenges of your week, that's when you need to stop and worship the most. Acts 16, Paul and Silas. They find themselves in the darkness of a prison for unjust reasons at midnight. What do we find them doing in Acts 16? They're worshiping. They're focusing their hearts and their minds on the reality of the presence of God. And when we worship in those dark circumstances that have almost overwhelmed us and taken us down, our hearts and minds are pulled up to Jesus, to the reality of His presence in our lives in the midst of the storm. I got a picture texted to me along with a video last week. Look at this picture. Let me explain it. That's the hand of one of our students, one of our teenagers, who was walking through the incredibly tough medical challenges about a week ago. And that picture is a screenshot. He's lying in bed in between episodes in the hospital. Doctors are running around. They're trying to help him, to fix what's going on. And in the video, that's his hand held high, and he's worshiping. He's singing over and over, "I am a child of God. I am a child of God." And it's this beautiful, beautiful picture of focusing your heart and your mind on the presence of God through worship, even in the most challenging circumstances. That's it, right there, right? Sing praise to God. Let your heart worship him. Sing in the car, in the house, in the good times, and the bad times. For many of us, I'm telling you right now, we would see massive changes in our ability to seek the presence of God simply by being intentional with the music that we have playing day in and day out. Number four, to seek the presence of God, connect with other children of God. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. When we gather together in here as a church family, our goal is to worship God. We want to seek God. We want to set our hearts and our minds on God. And it happens through everything we do in here, through our singing, through studying the Word of God, through our giving, through celebrating baptism, through participating in the Lord's Supper together. But it also happens as we interact with one another. Right, as we encourage one another, as we love one another, as we stir one another up to love and good deeds like Scripture has called us to. If we want to seek God like we are called to seek God, if we want to be aware of the presence of God in our lives, we need to surround ourselves with other people that are seeking the presence of God, with other people that are aware of the presence of God, the reality of God in their life day in and day out. I'm sure you've seen this before, that you are the average of the five people that you hang out with the most. Are the five greatest influences in your life people that love the Lord their God with their heart, soul, and strength, and people that seek him daily? Plug into the family here. Get in the life group. Get connected to other people that are seeking God. Number five, if you want to seek the presence of God, choose to fill your heart and mind with what is honoring to God. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We all choose what goes into our minds. We all choose. Make sure that you are filling your mind with stuff that honors God. Filling your mind with information that makes you think about God. Romans 12 reminds us not to be or to act like the rest of the world, but to instead be transformed through renewed minds, minds that think different. And listen, if we're going to have minds that think about God, minds that think different than the rest of the world, we need to treat our minds different. And practically speaking, that means that the shows that we watch, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the books we read, all of that should be different. Make the conscious choice to fill your mind with what is honoring to God. And then finally, if we're going to seek the presence of God, let's go back to last week. We have to stay humble before God. Psalm 10:4 says this, "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek God. All of his thoughts are, there is no God." A proud heart, a heart that thinks, "I've got it, I'm in control, I don't need any help, I don't need my Bible, I don't need to pray, I don't need to worship the Lord, I don't need to surround myself with other believers." Listen, read Psalm 10:4 again. Proud hearts, they don't seek God. Proud hearts aren't aware of the presence of God. Proud hearts don't think about the reality of God constantly with them. Proud hearts think and they practically live like there is no God. Keep your heart humble. Read over what God's word says and seek him. And I'm telling you that discipline here, discipline in your heart and mind to seek the presence of God, it will change your life. I promise you. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Seek the presence of God. Think about the reality of God in your life every moment of every day. I can promise you it's worth it. Would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed, I just want you to offer up a prayer before the Lord and say something like this. Heavenly Father, help me to seek your face in my life. Heavenly Father, help me to make the decision. Help me to be disciplined. God, help me to focus my heart and my mind on you. Just confess this morning where you're at with that. If you're here and you'd say that's not the pattern of your life, say, God, I'm ready for that to be the pattern of my life and make the change today. Commit to being disciplined to seek the face of God. He calls us to that from the beginning of his word to the end of his word. Don't conform to the things of this world. Instead, seek the reality, the presence of God in your life day in and day out. And listen, that starts when you step into a relationship with God through Jesus. If you're here today, and you heard me talk about that earlier, that God has promised to always be with his children, and you were wondering, is that me? Am I a child of God? If you're here and you have questions, if you say, you know what, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior, when we dismiss in just a minute, come talk to us. We've got a prayer room set up in the back every Sunday, right? We have people come and ask us what it looks like to become a child of God. That room's for you back there. Maybe you've trusted Christ and baptism's your next step. Maybe you're here this week and you want someone to pray with you, for you, over whatever's going on in your life. We'd love to meet you back there at the end of this service. Heavenly Father, our heart this morning is to live out your word. God, our heart this morning is to take what you say and to live it and to do it, God, ultimately, God, seeking your presence. God, we know we can do nothing apart from you. So as your children, God, help us pray, seek your face, be aware of your presence, and walk in obedience to you. Lord, we love you and we trust you and we thank you. We thank you that we have a God that will never leave his children. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.